Okay, so because it turns out, because we are closing out the reading series, so I do have a little longer, which is awesome. And that means that I can read a story that has never been read, because it's not out yet. This story is coming out in Time Travel Tales Volume 2. I have Time Travel Tales Volume 1 in my bag there. But this one is Time Travel Tales Volume 2, so this is written specifically for it. And it is a little bit notable in that the Twitch channel that I run, which Mike knows about, the chat was responsible for helping pick the title. So they were the ones who came up with the title, or they voted on it. Anyway, they were very proud of it when it came out. So this is called The Lost Sweeper of Calden. His metal-clad hand firmly clamped over the body of the struggling two-folded sweeper, its head whipping side to side as its wheels spun and gears squealed in protest. Artaban-driven gear, third revision, shook his head and sighed. This was the fifth time this cycle he had to track down a rogue sweeper, about five times more than normal, and there was no obvious reason for the uncanny increase. He'd started with the fourth-level formation device, the FLFD, of course. He'd rotated the inductor coil a total of 73 revolutions so far with no result, had run the scalar over the central conducting spring 136 times until it was smooth enough to reflect light. But the sweepers the device was producing continued to deviate from their movement patterns. It was possible that five individual sweepers were simply defective, but their job, to scour the floor for loose pieces of metal and coil and pulverize them in their small but powerful interior mashers, was a painfully simple one. And besides, it had never happened before, at least for as long as Artaban could remember, which was a very long time indeed. He took pride in his memory. Of all the caretakers in the quadrant clock, he had the fewest missed assignments and the fewest mechanical inconsistencies in his sector. Yet here, he had five deviations in one cycle. Trouble was sure to come of it. With another sigh, Artaban rose to his full 7-foot height, still holding the squirming two-folded sweeper in his massive glove. Steam hissed and metal gears whirred as he straightened himself, looking down the long corridor which led from the fourth-level auxiliary engine room to the main hub of the level. His Mark II mechano-goggles, a trifle outdated, but he'd never felt comfortable with the Mark III's, clicked as he cycled through several frequencies and light spectrums until he returned to day, normal, ambient. He'd used X-ray heavy to find the offending sweeper, which had scurried underneath a row of gears and pistons in the back of the room at his approach, which, sadly, was never quiet. Tri-plated and appropriately jointed grayish-gold velenium covered his legs all the way to the waist, while his arms and torso were fitted with the same material, overlaid by a steam-powered, gear-covered exoskeleton. It made him strong enough for the tasks required, lifting a ton of loose debris and various metallic odds and ends, pile-driving through the little rock structure still visible near the ground levels of the quadrant clock, but not particularly stealthy. Oh, he could fix items with his finely articulated glove overlays, the fine detail region inspector's 2400 grade. But he was no seeker. His was to build, repair, form, and clear, not track down and capture a measly two-folded sweeper. But he was beginning not to trust the FLFD, even if he could find nothing wrong with it. And until he could ascertain exactly what was going on, he was determined not to add to the problem. If the Seeker had the same problems as the sweepers, it might wander off into the machinery and cause damage which could take hundreds of cycles to fix. And so here he was, holding a piece of rebellious machinery 1/1000th his weight, a little wriggling metallic creation of 100 small gears and springs, and one central power core barely strong enough to light an instrument panel. Like the others, this would have to be destroyed. With a hiss and clank, Artaban set off down the hallway, one massive boot after the other impacting the indefatigable metal floor. A soft crunch came from within the body of the sweeper as it twisted towards him, and the caretaker eyed it suspiciously. Beyond the obvious potential for embarrassment with the other caretakers at his inability to maintain his sector, defective items bothered Artaban on an almost primitive level. Things had a certain way of working, predictable and obvious and unfaltering, and when they broke down there were clear reasons as to why. He doubted very much that his father, or his father's father, had ever been as vexed by an improperly functioning unit as he had. But then he doubted either of them had to deal with as complex an environment as he did. Emerging into the fourth level's main hub, he turned left towards the passageway which led to the main compactor. But before he entered, he halted, as always, in front of the clear shell window, practically invisible but nearly as strong as his millennium-covered suit. He had seen this sight 6,755 times to date, yet it had never grown tiresome. The quadrant clock stood in the center of the city of Tem, largest metropolis on the world of Kaldum. As the clock slowly turned, half a rotation for every quarter cycle, the whirling gears and sparkling machinery of the city glittered below. To the west was the builder's district, its skyline uneven and erratic. To the south lay the mechano fields, the testing and proving ground for every invention made in Tem. And to the north stood one massive triangular building made of brightly gleaming metal, the core, the seat of government and religion in Kaldum. And towering over the city and planet, holding the entire surface of the world together, was the quadrant clock, regulating the time and energy without which the mechanical structures and life itself on Kaldum would fail. "Our world," Artaban heard something say with a grinding crunch, and with a start he looked down at the source of the voice. It was the sweeper. "This is our world," it repeated. Artaban recoiled, almost dropping his captive. Sweepers couldn't talk. Well, certainly not the two-folded kind. They had no vocal mechanism. Yet there it was, external metal jaw working as if it were speaking. "All that we are comes from this place," it said. "But all of it will be lost now the decay has returned. All of this will grind to a halt, and our world break and stop and rust into oblivion. What will you do about it?" It stopped, and after a moment, Artaban realized it was waiting for him to respond. What can I do?" he managed at last, trying not to think about the fact that he was talking with the twofold and sweeper. "I am only a caretaker."
"You're more than that, Artaban, and less,"
the sweeper said in the same strange metallic voice.
"You have power to help stop decay and save Kaldum. More than Kaldum, in fact, the universe itself. Or you can remain a caretaker until you break down, as your father did, and his father before him. For you there will be no memory then of what you lost and what you could have found."
Then it fell silent, and for a long time Artaban said nothing, staring at the now calm sweeper. No caretaker liked being reminded of his creation, nor of his own hybrid nature, part organic, part mechanical, a machine which could and would eventually break down like any other and be scrapped. Like the sweeper. He thought for a long time, looking out onto the sparkling mechanical perfection of Tem. He looked down the passageway to the main compactor. Finally, he looked again at the sweeper, lying now quite still in his grasp. And then, suddenly, he put the sweeper on his shoulder, feeling its wheels lock in place as he fastened a restraining band over its body to hold it secure, and turning away from the compactor, he took purposeful and massive strides down the corridor which exited the fourth level. For the very first time in his life, Artaban Drivengear, third revision, had made an entirely, completely unpredictable decision. And even more shockingly, he was glad of it. As soon as Artaban left the quadrant clock, attracting no end of odd looks and blank stares from those he met on the way, including 14th level caretaker Elladin Metalcog, first revision, who to Artaban's mind was a trifle smug for a second generation model, he turned left and headed due south towards the mechano fields. Caretakers all lived within the clock, of course, and seldom ventured outside its confines except to perform repairs on the base of the building. When they did go elsewhere, though, it was invariably towards the mechano fields, usually to test a new cleaning device or tuning instrument for possible use in the clock. There had been a single situation Artaban could remember where a caretaker had gone in another direction after leaving the building, when 9th-level caretaker Irodel Socketwheel, 5th revision, had gone directly to the core. But he had been summoned for that trip by the Council of Makers and was under heavy guard, and of course, he never came back. For everyone else, a caretaker going anywhere other than the mechano fields would raise more than a negligible amount of suspicion. So it was fortunate that Artaban's destination was what it was. He had questions, and he knew of only one creature with the potential answers. And that meant a journey to the mechano fields. Still, though, even with a reasonably unsuspicious destination, the sight of a caretaker banging and hissing his way down the 65th path as he went, sidestepping third-class inventors, no doubt hurrying to the 75th annual conference on the interaction between gears and horizontal orientations, and threefold and sweepers scurrying this way and that to pick up a spare metal widget or a small, almost invisible pile of metal dust, was still unusual. Walking in Tem for any significant distance is already considered a little strange, mostly the province of inventors who were given great latitude to break traffic laws as they wandered about in excited contemplation of their newest idea to combine laser sights with jet boards or create more efficient wheel scopes from spare sweeper parts. For everyone else, riding in a rotorcycle or hovermobile was considered the norm, and considerably easier to manage in a city of many millions. So the strange looks and stares continued as Artaban walked on. But Artaban paid little attention, for his thoughts were elsewhere. The two-folded sweeper had not spoken since they had left the quadrant clock, though he could still feel the gears whirring within the small metallic body locked in his shoulder as he stomped along. How a two-folded sweeper could speak, let alone think, and apparently see the future, was utterly beyond him, and he could find no internal records describing a similar event. He considered the possibility that he himself was defective, but he had just had diagnostic checks run in himself within the last quarter cycle with no problems reported. And he was well before the end of his expected model life. Which left the inescapable yet impossible reality that the two-folded sweeper had, perhaps, somehow, spoken of the future. What kind of a future? Artaban wondered aloud, lumbering around a young sixth-class inventor who stared at him, mouth agape, as the caretaker gave her an absent-minded nod. To be reminded of his own inevitable breakdown was one not very pleasant thing, but it wasn't the first time he had received such a reminder. Usually, from the quadrant clock coordinator, who was irritated at a slight misalignment in gear 6082 or something similar. But to hear of the decay, a term he had only heard once before, many cycles ago, that was something else entirely. Artaban wondered vaguely if this was an elaborate test of his caretaking protocols, an attempt to determine how efficiently his systems were running. But this was an awfully complex and involved test, involving technologies well beyond Artaban's knowledge, if it really was one at all. But the QCC had been annoyed with him last cycle. Perhaps he stopped short as a hovermobile whizzed in front of him, and as he looked up he saw that he had arrived at his destination, or at least the first part of it. Across the 98th route, as it intersected with the 65th path, stood an enormous metal gate, the entrance into the mechanofields. Two massive levers, at least 10 feet high, emerged from the ground on either side of the gate, and standing silently next to each lever was an even larger metallic figure, gleaming in the reflected light from the floral lamps lining the 98th route. Gate guardians, of course. With a sigh, Artaban marched across the route and stopped on the other side in front of the leftmost guardian. The top of his head barely came up to the guardian's waist. With a shudder and whine of gears, the guardian's massive head, red floral lamp eyes burning brightly, inclined downwards. "Identify yourself," a voice from deep inside the mouthless head boomed. "Artaban Drivengear, third revision, caretaker of the fourth level of the quadrant clock," the caretaker replied promptly. A moment of silence, then, "Speak your purpose for entry." "I seek access to the second region of the mechanofields for..." He considered what stated purpose would generate the fewest questions. "For consultation," he concluded after a moment. Again a pause. "Consultations must be cleared by the regional coordinator. No consultation requests have been received within the past quarter cycle. This is for a situation which has just occurred. I have had no time to file a consultation request, and I will do so before the next quarter cycle." "Then your request for entry will be approved then." Artaban frowned and shook his head as steam hissed. "I need consultation now. My request cannot wait." "Consultations must be cleared by the regional coordinator," the guardian boomed almost placidly. Artaban narrowed his eyes, his Mark II mechano goggles increasing their aperture slightly to compensate. Gate guardians were not known for flexibility, and dealing with them was often an exercise in frustration, but they were seldom this recalcitrant. "I am a caretaker of the fourth level of the quadrant clock," he said, drawing himself up as high as he could go, still little more than half the size of the guardian, "and I need consultation. I must have entry to the mechanofields. You will permit that entry." Silence again. "You are a caretaker of the fourth level of the quadrant clock," the guardian acknowledged. "I cannot permit entry without clearance." Artaban made an adjustment to his internal temperature gauge, which was beginning to emit a quiet warning beep. "I demand that..." But he stopped as he heard a small, high voice to his left. "What seems to be the problem, Guardian?" the voice asked. Turning, Artaban saw a small bipedal creature covered in a metal suit, sitting in a seat perched on the back of a copper-colored mechanical creature with 8 spindly legs, bending and straightening as it stood next to the caretaker.
"Regional coordinator," he said, bowing his head in a mixture of acknowledgement and relief. The metal-clad creature leaned forward over some switches and levers in front of him, peering up at him through thick goggles.
Caretaker? Fourth level. Artaban driven gear, is it?"
Artaban nodded.
"Hmm,"
the regional coordinator said, leaning back in his seat.
"Why is a caretaker venturing outside of the quadrant clock? I already explained to the QCC we're not done testing the newest Seeker model, and until we are, I can't authorize them for mass production. I can't just wish them into existence and..."
No, Artaban cut in hurriedly. "The QCC didn't send me. I came on my own." The regional coordinator tilted his head.
"Your own, you say?"
Artaban nodded.
"Hmm,"
the small creature said, his voice skeptical.
"Caretakers don't do things on their own, Artaban."
Yes, sir, Artaban replied. "These are unusual circumstances. I was coming to explain it to you myself, but I was delayed." He nodded up at the silent guardian. The regional coordinator glanced at the guardian, then back at Artaban. After a moment or two, he shrugged.
"Open the gate, guardian," he said.
"Consultations must be cleared by the regional..."
"Override," the regional coordinator interrupted impatiently. "I am the regional coordinator of the mechanofields."
A quiet whirring sound followed this remark.
"Renamon Ratchet, mechanofields regional coordinator, acknowledged."
The guardian turned to the gate, its companion on the opposite side moving as he did and took hold of the lever. Simultaneously, each guardian pulled back on its respective lever, gears grinding and clanking, and with a groan, the gate began to rise. Renamon Ratchet waited patiently on top of his eight-legged mount, hands poised on the switches in front of his seat. When the gate was completely open, he nodded at Artaban as his ride scuttled around him and through the open portal. He paused just past the entrance and looked over his shoulder.
"Well, if you're here to see me, Artaban, follow along and make it quick. I'm behind schedule as it is, and I hadn't planned on fitting in a caretaker's visit of whimsy."
And turning, he headed off again. Artaban looked up at the silent guardian, then stepped through the open gate and followed Renamon Ratchet. He did not bother to look back as he heard the grinding sound of the door closing again, but for some reason he remembered the words of the QCC when he had first begun his duties so many cycles ago. "One cog out of place means 10 more out of sight. Fix them all now, or get none of them right." The memory did not comfort him. If Artaban Drivengear had been in the mood to go elsewhere, or interest, because caretakers were generally focused on their work in the quadrant clock, the mechanofields might well have been his chosen destination. Everywhere one looked was activity. Inventors from 7th all the way to 2nd class scurrying among mounds of all different kinds of metals, springs, coils, nuts, bolts, screws, gears, cogs, fittings, grabbing heaps of each and tossing them inside boxes and crates before rushing off again. Some chose not to rush off at all, but sat on the ground cross-legged, puttering away with their prizes, bizarre machines growing in front of them as they worked. Artaban had heard more than one story of an inventor forgetting everything else, even sustenance and sleep, and staying in the mechanofields until he or she collapsed from exhaustion, hunger, or thirst. Even the tolerance shown towards inventors on Calden had its limits, and when complaints of their constant disappearances had reached critical levels, the Council of Makers had finally decided to enact ordinances limiting inventors' time and access to the mechanofields, requiring guardians to do periodic sweeps of the vast metal landscape to ensure compliance. If this had changed things, though, Artaban did not see it, for blissfully unaware inventors were hammering, connecting, attaching, and building everywhere he looked. He had little time to take the view in, though, for Renamon Ratchet's mount moved at a surprising speed, and it took all of Artaban's long strides to keep up. Finally, the regional coordinator vanished behind a particularly high mound of metal widgets, and as Artaban reached the spot a few moments later, he saw the spindly mount stopped in front of a short, squat building in between two hills of components. Renamon Ratchet was struggling with the switches, and as Artaban came up alongside, he could hear the small creature muttering under his breath.
"The first make or rust this defective bucket of... drat!"
He looked up at Artaban.
"Get me off this thing, Artaban. Carefully, mind you."
Artaban blinked, but complied, lifting the regional coordinator, so small he could have easily flung him halfway back down the path they just came, off the seat before gently setting him down next to his mount. Renamon Ratchet aimed a metal-booted kick at one of the creature's eight legs, which connected with a clang and sent Renamon Ratchet backwards onto the ground.
"They all tell us how much more advanced this Octobot is," he said, brushing off some screws as he got back to his feet. "And in the meantime, don't bother to make sure whether the rusted thing actually works. Bah!"
Muttering something else inaudible, he turned and walked to the front door of the building in front of him, touching his armored glove to the surface.
With a hiss of steam, the door opened, and still talking to himself, the regional coordinator marched inside. Artabin bent down, metal joints groaning slightly in protest, and carefully followed, his head barely clearing the top of the entrance. For the Mechanofields, the inside of Renneman Ratchet's home was considerably more organized than the caretaker might have expected. There were still metal inventions in various stages of completion everywhere, along with small mechanical flying devices buzzing about, various threefold and sweepers rolling along the floor, and tables filled with gears and levers and switches. But there were also a couple of empty spaces, and even an open desk behind which sat a wide-backed chair made of some material Artabin did not recognize. The regional coordinator fell into this chair with a clank and a sigh, and after a few moments he motioned towards the open space on the other side of the desk. Artabin, still crouched down to avoid hitting the ceiling, half walked and half shuffled to the offered space and sat awkwardly, knees drawn up as if he were a youngling listening to a story. "So," Renneman Ratchet said, leaning back in his chair, which reclined slightly to accommodate him, "you needed to speak to me about something." "On your own," Artabin nodded. "I understand how busy you are, Coordinator. I appreciate the—" The regional coordinator waved his hand. "Skip the preamble, Artabin. I know how grateful you undoubtedly are for a few cycles of my precious time." Artabin blinked through his goggles, and after a moment, Renneman Ratchet laughed. He pushed his own goggles back on his head, revealing two somewhat startlingly blue eyes which twinkled slightly. "I've spoken to you several times, Artabin, and the experience has never been bothersome. I'm happy for the curiosity, in fact."
"Curiosity?" Artabin asked, feeling lost.
"Yes." Renneman Ratchet waved his hand vaguely to his surroundings. "All this, and all that's outside, too, outside the Mechanofields and even Tem. Haven't you ever thought of how amazing it all is? How extraordinary the world we live in, how perfect its function, how incredible all of its workings. Have you ever taken a moment to admire its beauty?"
"Yes," Artabin replied, thinking of the view outside his clear-shell window on the fourth level.
"Yes, I have many times." "And you live in the heart of all of it, Artabin, the quadrant clock itself."
The regional coordinator sighed.
"I envy you."
"Me? But I'm only a caretaker. My function is not..."
"Oh, your function is enormously important," Renneman Ratchet cut in. "You keep the clock running, and that keeps Tem and Calden running. And you get to see how it's done. Well, or part of it, anyway. As for me, I spend my cycles answering questions about widgets and gears, waking fourth-class inventors passed out from exhaustion in the second region of the Mechanofields, processing applications and invention requests from the other districts." He shook his head. "It's not what drew me all those cycles ago to the Mechanofields."
"What did draw you?" Artabin asked, suddenly curious. Renneman Ratchet smiled.
"Love, Artabin. Love of discovery, revelation, a glimpse into the First Maker's plan."
Artabin nodded slowly. "I understand."
"Yes, I think you do. That's why I enjoy talking to you. And no one else, you know, certainly not any other caretaker, seems to care about why and how. They just want what and when. What can I give them? What will they need to do to install what I give them? When will I be able to do all of it? Tomorrow, yes?"
He sighed again, closing his eyes.
"It's all very routine."
For a moment he was silent, then shook his head.
"Anyway, you didn't come to hear some old fool ramble about his life path."
No, I don't think you're rambling," Artabin said hurriedly. "And I think it's routine which is bothering me, too, or at least the breakdown in routine."
"Hmm,"
regional coordinator said, eyes still closed.
"So what breakdown can I help you repair, then?"
Artabin hesitated. "I wondered if you had heard of something called the decay." Renneman Ratchet's eyes snapped open as he sat up.
"What?"
The caretaker blinked again. "Well, I..." But he stopped as he saw Renneman Ratchet's face, mouth twitching, eyes narrowed as they stared at him.
I can't say for sure," he continued, "but decay," Renneman Ratchet finally managed to get out. Where did you hear that word?"
"Once before, many cycles ago, and just now, before I came here." The regional coordinator leaned back in his seat, gazing at Artabin. After a moment, Artabin reached up and undid the restraining band from his shoulder. He gently took hold of the twofold and sweeper and placed it on the desk, where it sat, motionless. Renneman Ratchet looked at the sweeper, then raised an eyebrow and looked at Artabin.
"As I said, I've always found your sense of curiosity refreshing. I'm considerably less enamored with your sense of humor."
Artabin sighed. This isn't a joke, Regional Coordinator. The other crossed his arms and waited. Earlier this mini-cycle, I was tracking defective sweepers in the fourth level.
Rogue sweepers?
Defective, Artaban replied with a touch of annoyance. Our sweepers don't go rogue. But there have been some inconsistencies in their performance of late, and the Seekers weren't always able to find them easily, and I was able to find this one.
Fascinating, Renamon Ratchet replied in a tone which suggested the opposite. What does this have to do with decay?
This sweeper told me about it, Artaban said. The regional coordinator stared at him, jaw slack, for a long moment before bursting out into laughter.
Well, it was worth this absurd conversation for that, I suppose, he finally said when he had somewhat recovered. You are an intriguing caretaker for certain, Artaban. But if you would take my advice, I wouldn't let the QCC know you're taking unauthorized trips away from the clock to set up elaborate jokes. He's not well known for his...
Artaban fought the urge to stand up in exasperation, damaging Renamon Ratchet's ceiling was not likely to help matters, and settled for clenching his large metallic fist instead as pistons fired. This is not a joke. Renamon Ratchet stopped short, his smile fading.
I know Twofold and Sweepers can't think, Artaban said. I've repaired enough of them, 273 of them over the cycles, to know they can't speak either. But just before I came here, this one spoke, and it told me that all would be lost now that the decay is returned. I came to you, he went on somewhat desperately, as he saw Renamon Ratchet's smile hardening into a tight-lipped frown, because I don't know anyone else in Tem, or on Calden for that matter, who could and would be able to tell me what the decay is, or why a twofold and sweeper would know more about it.
And I also came to you, he said more quietly, because I don't know anyone else who would be interested in explaining anything to a caretaker. Particularly me. The regional coordinator pursed his lips and tilted his head slightly as he looked at Artaban. Then he sighed.
You said you heard of the decay once before.
A long time ago, the caretaker replied. I overheard two fifth-class inventors talking about it when they were meeting with the QCC, right before I was supposed to talk with them to begin my own duties. But I only heard the word, and immediately afterwards they both left in a rush. The QCC seemed angry during that whole first meeting, but I had assumed it was because of... me. I never heard the word again. Until now. Renamon Ratchet nodded and stood up.
For good reason, he said, walking to a shelf on the wall behind him and picking up a small metal sphere from its surface. You see anything unusual? He asked, turning it around gently in his armored grasp.
Artaban shook his head.
Suddenly, Renamon Ratchet tossed the sphere in the caretaker's direction. Instinctively, Artaban put out his gloved hand. As the sphere landed, it burst into a cloud of light brown metallic powder. Other than the slight whirring noise of Artaban's Mark II goggles as two blades automatically wiped the powder off the surface of the lenses, there was silence. Finally, Artaban broke the deadly quiet. This powder... Particles, Renamon Ratchet corrected him. Particles, which are quite obviously a result of rust.
Rust, Artaban thought. The worst enemy of anyone or anything on Calden. But a massive effort in environmental control, widespread use of atmospheric cleaners, and pristine, artificially maintained conditions had wiped out the threat of rust from the planet countless cycles ago.
Not totally wiped out, the regional coordinator said, guessing his thoughts. Mostly, but not totally. We've had occasional reports of something here and there sneaking in, but not any mass-produced manufacturing process. Until recently.
He pointed to the pile of brown particles on Artaban's glove.
First, it was a 35A model cylinder wrench. Then a handful of quadribolts. Then some 16-grade sprockets. All of them the same. Look fine on the outside. But apply any pressure to them. Try to do anything with them at all beyond picking them up and putting them down and...
He leaned over and... blew towards Artaban's hand, sending the rest of the particles into the air again.
Useless. Completely useless, and impossible to detect with visual inspection. It's rusting from the inside out, which isn't possible either.
This is the decay? Artaban finally managed to ask.
No, this is rust, Renamon Ratchet said with a grim smile as he straightened up and returned to his side of the desk, where he sat down heavily in the chair. Normal, ordinary rust.
But this can't happen, Artaban objected. Surely something would have said something. There would be protocols put in place.
To do what? Renamon Ratchet said. To try very, very hard not to let it happen again?
He shook his head.
It's impossible to get real data. The other regional coordinators aren't sharing, and other cities don't report this sort of thing, at least not publicly. But everything I can find suggests this is getting worse, now much more quickly. Parts, machine elements, everything is being affected. And no one, even the few who know that it's going on, knows why or what to do about it. If it continues, and if we can't manufacture enough things to replace what's being lost, do you understand what we're looking at?
He leaned forward, eyes fixed on Artaban.
Eventually, destruction. Complete, total destruction. That is the decay. When it happens, when everything within the First Maker's plan, all we have and all we are, rusts away into nothingness.
He leaned back.
Now you tell me. If you're on the council, do you tell everyone on Calden about something you don't understand and cannot stop? Or do you continue with things as they have always been, hoping the decay will stop before you do?
Artaban was silent for a long time, looking at the twofold and sweeper sitting placidly on the regional coordinator's desk. He was, after all, simply the fourth-level caretaker of the Quadrant Clock, not a member of the Council of Makers. For almost all the cycles of his life, he had been content to take his place in the First Maker's great plan. And now what was he to do? Suddenly, there was a loud banging sound outside, and the regional coordinator's house shook slightly as something impacted the ground nearby. Thank you, Mike.
Rust! Renneman Ratchet swore, springing from his chair as he slid his goggles down into his eyes. Come on, Artaban!
The caretaker carefully picked up the twofold and sweeper from the desk, reattached it to his shoulder, and followed. As Artaban emerged from the building and stood up straight, with a slight sigh of relief as his joints clicked back to their normal position, he saw Renneman Ratchet staring upwards, and as he followed his gaze, he saw what was attracting his attention. Four guardians stood in the path outside the building. As he stepped forward, all four of the massive heads turned in his direction, the light from eight red floral lamp eyes boring into him.
Artaban Driven Gear, third revision, caretaker of the fourth level of the Quadrant Clock,
four voices boomed. Four heads swiveled back.
Renneman Ratchet, Meccano Fields Regional Coordinator.
A pause, then.
You are summoned to the Council of Makers.
The Regional Coordinator cleared his throat and stepped forward.
Why have we been summoned?
He said, his voice mostly level.
You are summoned to the Council of Makers, came the four replies in unison.
Renneman Ratchet sighed. I suppose asking for an explanation from the Guardians is a fool's errand, he said, glancing at Artaban.
I imagine someone wants to know why I'm overriding Gate Guardian protocols to allow a rogue caretaker to have an unauthorized conversation with me.
And the Quadrant Clock Coordinator may want to know why I'm away from my post, Artaban replied. I'm sorry, Regional Coordinator. I may have put you into danger. Renneman Ratchet waved his hand.
Bah! No one forced me to—
You are summoned to the Council of Makers, the four voices boomed insistently.
The Regional Coordinator frowned and nodded.
Acknowledged,
he replied, and with a last glance at Artaban, clambered onto his waiting Octobot. Artaban looked up at the implacable stares of the Guardians and inclined his head slightly. As he stepped next to Renneman Ratchet, two of the Guardians strode behind them and stopped. Renneman Ratchet grinned.
A full escort, Artaban. A great honor, don't you think?
But caretakers are not fitted with humor modules, and so Artaban did not smile as the party moved off north towards the Quadrant Clock, and beyond it, the core. Artaban had only been to the core once, many cycles ago when he had first been commissioned and begun his duties. The ceremony had been characteristically short and efficient, but still memorable. His recitation of the Oath of Caretaking had been flawless, and he could still remember the Quadrant Clock Coordinator's expression, one of the few times it had ever seemed pleased, as he stepped forward for official activation by a member of the Council of Makers. But that ceremony had taken place outside of the core itself, the surface of the massive copper-gold pyramid shining on the small group below. Now he was to be taken inside the core to meet with the council, and as Artaban, Renneman Ratchet, and their four guardian escorts drew close to the front gate of the pyramid, he recalled the rumors that no one entering the core at the council's request had ever been known to leave it again. Caretakers were not equipped to feel fear exactly, but uncertainty, instability, even doubt were necessary components of a caretaker's personality, allowing the caretaker to go beyond the obvious in repairing a potential problem in the Quadrant Clock. Artaban felt all three of those things very strongly now. Still, for just a moment every other feeling fell away as he watched two of the guardians knock three times in unison on the front gate, a deep booming noise echoing inside the building with each knock. But the noise did not stop after the third time. It intensified into a deep rumble which Artaban could feel in the ground below his feet. Renamon Ratchet's Octobots stepped left and right as the surface shook slightly. The top of the gate began to drop, and Artaban heard the sound of gears grinding as it slowly descended into the ground. As the space beyond, lit by glowing red floral lamps, became visible, Artaban's eyes widened. "There's only one room," he said.
"Of course,"
Renamon Ratchet replied, gazing at the lowering gate while he bobbed up and down on the Octobot.
"There's only one room inside the core. At least only one room anyone knows about. The Council holds session here."
"But where do they keep everything else?"
"Everything else?"
The regional coordinator chuckled.
"I don't need anything else. The core is the core, just as it is."
Artaban was inclined to view this answer as a little cryptic, but before he could ask more, the top of the gate clicked into place on the floor below, and the two guardians stepped into the revealed area beyond. Muttering something under his breath, Renamon Ratchet threw a switch on the Octobot and set off after them, and after one more look at the two implacable guardians behind him, Artaban followed. As they passed the portal, he heard the rumbling sound again.
"A one-way journey,"
Renamon Ratchet said quietly, almost too quietly to hear over the sound of the guardian's booming footsteps and the scraping sound of the Octobot as it scuttled along. But Artaban heard him, and as he saw the brilliant light of Tem from behind him gradually disappearing as they moved along, he was inclined to agree with the sentiment. The gate behind them closed with an echoing crash, but Artaban paid little attention, for they had come, at last, to the center of the core. The roof above them soared to its apex at the top of the pyramid, and through a small aperture at that point a shaft of golden light stabbed downwards into the center of the room, where it hit a multifaceted mirror and splintered into 8 parts. Each new beam of light shone outwards to one of 8 mirrors angled upwards, and each redirected beam met again in the middle of the room. A pyramid within a pyramid, thought Artaban, and a good way to remind anyone entering the room about where their focus should be. For below the pyramid of light sat 9 chairs in an inverted V, 4 on each side and 1 at the point, and in each chair sat a hooded figure, robed in red and holding a glowing orb on its lap.
"It's the Council of Makers,"
Renamon Ratchet whispered. As the group drew close, the figure at the point of the V stood. The two leading guardians stepped to the side and turned to face each other, while the two trailing guardians stopped as Artaban and Renamon Ratchet, dismounting his Octobot, faced the supreme leaders of Calden. There was a long silence. Finally, Renamon Ratchet cleared his throat and took one small, tentative step forward.
"Renamon Ratchet, Maker, I am..."
"Mechanofield's regional coordinator,"
a gravelly voice intoned. It seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere at once, but Artaban assumed the standing figure was the logical source. And there was something else, too, something familiar about the voice.
"You are known to the Council, Renamon Ratchet. You were summoned, but you were not addressed yet."
Renamon Ratchet shut his mouth with a snap.
"Artaban Driven Gear, 3rd Revision, caretaker of the 4th level of the Quadrant Clock,"
the gravelly voice intoned. "I am Artaban Driven Gear Maker," Artaban said, inclining his head respectfully.
"The Council also knows who you are, caretaker," the voice replied. "You also were summoned."
There was a pause, then finally,
"Do you know why?"
Artaban opened his mouth in surprise. Yet it occurred to him quickly that a test of his functionality, or at least his loyalty, would be a reasonable step for his creators to take, and so he replied simply,
"I assume, Maker, that I am to be punished for leaving my post at the Quadrant Clock without authorization."
The standing figure nodded slowly.
"And why would the Quadrant Clock coordinator not be responsible for assessing and carrying out that punishment?"
Artaban hesitated.
"I assume that my transgression is more severe, Maker."
"You assume a great deal, caretaker,"
the voice said, and Artaban felt the uncertainty and doubt begin to rise again.
"In fact," the voice went on, "you have assumed a great deal for most of your cycles as caretaker since your activation. According to the Quadrant Clock Coordinator, you spend as much time questioning why something happens as you do actually repairing the defect. Other caretakers are content to repair, replace, and correct. You require explanations."
Artaban blinked, but said nothing.
"The caretaker's role," the voice went on, "is to maintain the perfect operation of the Quadrant Clock. That role is not negotiable, not adjustable, not flexible. And it is the most sacred of tasks any Caldonian can aspire to. When you were activated, you were given the honor of caretaking. It appears you do not appreciate this honor. And if you do not appreciate the honor of your duties, the Council does not see it as advisable for you to continue to neglect them.
The voice was silent for a moment before asking, "What say you to this?" Artaban's mind whirled as Renamon Ratchet stared at him. He had never truly considered the possibility that he would be decommissioned, that he would end his existence here in the Corps, never again being able to look through his clear shell window on the fourth level of the quadrant clock to see the city of Tem laid out in its orderly perfection. Most of all, its beauty, the almost overwhelming brightness, the movement of millions of sweepers, seekers, inventors, guardians, cogs, gears, wheels.
"What is this?" the harsh voice suddenly asked, breaking in on his thoughts. "What are you doing?"
And Artaban realized he had bowed his head and lifted his hands to his face. And though he had not had the need for this function in many cycles, his Mark II mechano-goggles were busily cleaning moisture away from the inside of the lenses. Artaban straightened and lowered his hands.
"I did not wish to offend," he said at last. "Perhaps I am indeed different from the other caretakers. I have strived to do my duty as a part of the First Maker's plan. If my fulfillment of that duty is insufficient, then I must be replaced."
No, wait,
Renamon Ratchet began, but fell silent as the red-robed maker stepped forward.
"And what of your twofold and sweeper?" the voice asked.
And suddenly Artaban realized something about the voice. It also seemed to be coming from right next to him. Reaching up, he detached the restraining band and gently lowered the sweeper onto the floor. It rolled forward to the feet of the maker, then turned to face the caretaker.
"This is our world," it said.
But the words came not just from the sweeper, but from the maker, and Artaban finally realized something else. "It's the same voice," he said.
"It is the voice of the council," the sweeper and maker replied. "It is the voice of Khaldun."
And raising one hand as the other held the glowing orb, the maker pushed back its hood as Artaban stepped back in astonishment. It was the Quadrant Clock's ninth-level caretaker, Irodel Socket Wheel, fifth revision, who many cycles ago had gone directly to the Corps and had never come back.
"First Maker, protect us,"
Artaban vaguely heard Renamon Ratchet whisper next to him. But his gaze did not waver from Irodel's face, which looked the same as it had. No, not the same. The skin seemed wrinkled, the goggles sunken, the metal around the neck dull and flecked with brown.
"I seem different, Artaban,"
Irodel said with a wry smile, still in the same gravelly voice.
"Older. Decayed."
Artaban nodded mutely.
"But I cannot be decaying, for I am more mechanical than organic, just as you are,"
Irodel said.
"When a caretaker is scrapped, it is the inside which has failed. A new revision has made the old model obsolete. But the outside looks more or less the same."
Irodel sighed.
"Yet I am decaying, Artaban. I am decaying just as the caretaker before me was when I was summoned here, summoned for asking too many questions."
He looked down at the sweeper, an almost kind expression passing over his features.
"In my case, it was a seeker that started it all."
"I don't understand," Artaban finally managed.
"I didn't either,"
Irodel said, smiling again.
"It's why I ended up here."
He looked up at the pyramid of light above him.
"Haven't you always wondered," he asked, "why things work the way they do? Haven't you always wanted to know more about how we first learned to make things, build them, put them together?"
He looked back at Artaban.
"Or how we learn things at all? Haven't you ever marveled at the First Maker's plan? Or wondered about your own place in it?"
"Yes," Artaban replied simply. Irodel nodded.
"Your reaction, when I suggested it was your time to be decommissioned and scrapped, told me that already. It was my reaction when I was told the same thing many cycles ago."
He lifted his arms, embracing the air.
"This is a beautiful world in which we live. A beautiful, strange world, with many riddles to answer and secrets to learn. There are many more questions than we could hope to answer, of course, but the true joy lies in the questioning, not the answering."
He lowered his arms and smiled at Artaban.
"But you already know this. It is why you are here."
Artaban shook his head, still not understanding.
"Every caretaker, when confronted with a twofold and sweeper, which speaks, which cannot speak because it has no vocal mechanism but speaks nonetheless, does not question why the sweeper speaks. The caretaker scraps the sweeper and requests a new one, or the seeker, or whichever thing is behaving entirely outside of its ability to behave.
The caretaker maintains and preserves. The caretaker does not question or seek out anything beyond what is necessary to its role. Except you. And me. Many cycles ago, and the ones who came before us. The ones who asked why.
Iridel's expression grew serious.
There have been many sweepers and seekers and other such insignificant machines constructed and sent out by the Council over the cycles, each with a message. Almost all of them have been destroyed immediately when found by the caretakers. But every once in a while, once in 10 million interactions or more, a caretaker does not destroy the machine. He asks why it is functioning as it is, and hears its message, and seeks out more knowledge. And eventually that caretaker is summoned before the Council of Makers, as you have been summoned before me.
Then all of the other makers are caretakers too? Renamon Ratchet asked.
Iridel smiled sadly. At one time, Renamon Ratchet. But that time is past.
And he lifted his orb, which flared with light, and the pyramid of light above and the orbs in each of the seated figures' laps flared in answer. 8 Hids' hoods flew back, and Artaban and Renamon Ratchet gasped. They were all the faces of caretakers, but all rusted away, all sightless and unmoving.
How long?
The regional coordinator finally said, voice husky.
Many cycles, Iridel replied. Edifast Leverfast, second revision. The one who summoned me was the last to go. But even he has been gone for a long time. I am all of the Council of Makers now.
Then the decay is real, Artaban said. The decay is real, and all of Kaldan will fall before it.
No, Iridel said, his smile brightening. The decay is real, but there is hope, Artaban. You are that hope. You, and Renamon Ratchet, and the others like you, whom you will find as I have found you. I had almost given up, you know, he said, leaning down and picking up the twofold and sweeper with his free hand, as rusted pistons groaned within the folds of his robe. I had sent out messengers, as Edifast had done, but with no result. I had found none willing to question, and those who will not question even if they fear the answers, those who will not seek out the truth because they wish to, not because their protocols require them to, are of no use at all. I had almost assumed there were none left in Tem or on Kaldan who would think as I did.
He gazed at the sweeper, then at Artaban and Renamon Ratchet.
But Edifast had told me that hope is the most mysterious, unusual, inscrutable of things, that it is found in the darkest of places with neither data nor evidence nor logic to sustain it. And he was right, for where Edifast found one questioner in all of Kaldan, I have found two. Between you both, you, Artaban, who will become the new member of the Council of Makers, and you, Renamon Ratchet, who will go forth and seek out answers as Artaban instructs you, you will find more. Perhaps 4, and those 4 will find 8, and those 8, 16. And eventually the thousands and then millions of questioners will find an answer to the decay.
I will not see it, Iridel said, stepping back and sitting down heavily in a seat.
But I know it will be seen, and I am grateful. Happy.
He laughed, a strange grating noise.
A caretaker. Happy. That itself is a most wondrous thing. Another question I would answer if I had time to ask it.
He looked at them both.
Another question.
And, with a smile fixed on his face, his goggles dulled, Iridel Socket Wheel, 5th Revision, bowed his head and never moved again. There was a long, empty silence. Finally, Renamon Ratchet spoke.
First Maker, he said in a mixture of awe and sadness, what are we to do?
He looked at Artaban as the caretaker walked to Iridel's body and carefully picked up the orb. As he did, the orb flared to light, and the light pyramid overhead glowed and sparkled with energy, vitality, life. He gazed at it a while, then looked back down and carefully picked up the twofold and sweeper with his other hand, watching as the small mechanical body quivered gently in his grasp. Then, with a wide smile, he looked up at the regional coordinator.
We are to live, Renamon Ratchet, said Artaban Drivengear, 3rd Revision, member of the Council of Makers.
We are to ask questions and find answers. We are to live.
That's it.